I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8 for your listening. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Listen, would you please, to the reading of this text. It says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy." Period. "He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." I want to start talking today about reminders for saved people. Reminders for saved people. How many of you all are happy about being saved? How many of you all can look back over your life and see that even though you are not where you ought to be, you thank God you're not what you used to be? Oh, bless His name. How many of you all know that the Lord keeps calling us to a higher level? He didn't save us to sit and think Him for what He's done, but He's also saved us that we might live according to His will. That's what's going on in the text. Paul tells his son in the ministry, Titus, to talk to the church folk in Crete about how, yes, you are saved, but you are saved for a purpose. And so today I want to start talking about saved people should live right. That's the thesis. That's the sermon in a sentence. Saved people should live right. So I want to start off talking about right living. If you look carefully at verses 1 and 2, these three points just jump right up off the page. I can't take any sort of hermeneutic credit for this. It's right there in the text. Three things under this ideal of right living includes following leadership, it includes doing good, as well as getting along with one another. Three things under right living. First one is following leadership. Pastor Titus is to remind the church at Crete to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. First thing I want to say under this idea of following leadership is that God still uses sinners to lead His people. What a strange statement, but how true. Listen again. God still uses sinners to lead his people. Adam was a sinner, you know. Did y'all know that? Noah was a sinner. Abraham was a sinner. David was a sinner. Peter was a sinner. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus was not a sinner, but even Jesus became sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Because of our sin, mine and yours I'm talking about, there are times when you are not going to like the leader. There are times you surely will not like the leader's ways. David, as much as I respect, in fact, admire his psalms, those beautiful psalms that millennium later still ministers to the hearts and minds of God's people. David, that one who has that marvelous and inspiring story from rags to riches, in my opinion, just went too far in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It is in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that David uses his power to have Uriah killed. Now, it was bad. It never should have happened for him to have sex with the man's wife. That's wrong. No excuse for that. That's wrong. Did y'all hear me say that was wrong? That was wrong. But he went too far when he had the man killed. He had Uriah killed. I don't like that about David. But yet God, who's much more important than I am, declares that David is a man after my own heart. You would have to ask God, what does he mean by that? But I think you ought not ignore that God did not write David off even after he had Uriah killed. Isn't that something? Because if it was up to us, once we heard rumor that he had sex with the woman, we would have wanted to have a meeting. But David served years after the murder. He never had a coup that overtook his kingdom. David died from old age as the king. Wow. Listen to Jesus, because we get selective about what we pay attention to in the Old Testament. So come on up here to the New Testament. Jesus, this is in your red letter edition. Matthew 23, 1 through 4. Matthew 23, 1 through 4. Listen to Jesus. He says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, which suggests they did not know but needed to know, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, you would have to understand, if you think cats and dogs don't get along, you ought to see Jesus and these Pharisees and teachers of the law. They always fussing with one another. And yet Jesus says that these teachers of the law and these Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. They occupy an office. Verse 3. So, because they sit in the seat, You must be careful to do everything they tell you. Wow. What a mature concept. Because many of us think that I will do what the leader says do as long as I like the leader. But when I don't like the leader, I ain't doing nothing he say do. But Jesus says, because of the seat they occupy, do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on the people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Wow. Don't you know people who say, well, if they don't practice what they preach, I ain't following what they preach? Don't you know people like that? Some of y'all are people like that. But Jesus says, even when the preacher don't live by his or her own sermon, the truth is freestanding. No matter if a mule kick out the truth is the truth. If the dog barked out the truth is the truth. If a cat meowed out the truth is the truth. You are never exempt from doing what God says do just because you don't like the sinful leader. It's not going to hold up at judgment. Lord, the reason I stopped worshiping you because I didn't like the worship leader. It's not going to hold up at judgment. The Lord, the reason why I stopped giving to you is because I didn't want that preacher driving around with no Cadillac. The reason I stopped serving you is because I didn't like those folk down at the church. That's not going to hold up. Pastor told you on today that God still uses sinners to lead his people. And listen to this second ideal under following leadership. Following leadership is to be done unto God. Repeat after me. Following leadership is to be done unto God. Listen, you all are familiar, some perhaps, with Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those that have rule over you, for they watch after your soul. Let them do it with joy, not with grief, because that's unprofitable for you. But listen to Romans 13, 1 and 2. Romans 13, 1 and 2. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Isn't that something? Because when we fall out with one another, one of the first things we want to do to excuse our rebellion is to invalidate God's connection with the leader. But the text says, as long as the person occupies the office, know this, they are only there by permission of God. Whenever God gets tired of the sins of the sinner, the same God who put him in the seat know how to take him out of the seat. But as long as God allowed him to occupy the seat, you ought to respect the fact that God must still have a plan. That text goes on and says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, this sounds like Old Testament stuff, but this is New Testament. Romans chapter 13, that's about as New Testament as you can get. The New Testament says that you ought to follow leadership, and the danger of not following ship is not that the leader is so big and bad, he gonna beat you up. That's not your problem. The problem is the one that the leader represents has a plan, and you are clogging up the plan with your rebellious spirit. Luke 10:16, Jesus said, y'all heard of Jesus? Ain't nobody heard of Jesus up here. Y'all heard of Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 10:16, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. I don't think we see the spiritual dimension of following leadership. I think we only see this horizontal thing. He's a man like I'm a man. He put his pants on like I put my pants on. When you can have a whole conversation about leadership and God is not in the conversation, your view is too myopic. It is too narrow. You're not seeing the whole picture. If all it was you and the leader, I can see why you're so rebellious. What I'm telling you is you the leader and God. And God has left a structure. I wish y'all could see how y'all looking at me. Part of what you need to remind saved people to do is follow leadership. Now, the exception to the rule, of course, in Acts chapter 5, is when the leader is leading you contrary to God's word. But that requires you to know God's word. When you don't know God's word, you will assume that every time the pastor or leader leads you contrary to what you want, you assume it must be contrary to God's word. How many of y'all know what we want and what God wants can be as different as the north is from the south and the east is from the west? And then, part of right living includes doing good. I'm just walking through the text. Not only does right living include following leadership, but it includes doing good. Now, of course, doing good includes evangelism. We got to help people get saved. Because no matter what else you get right in life, if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. So you can have decent, affordable housing. You can get health care. You can have gainful employment. You can get a whole lot of stuff going for you here. But when you die, you're on your way to hell. There's no government program to help you get saved. Only the church is in the evangelism business. So then whatever else we do, we must make sure evangelism stays high on our list. But how many of y'all know it's hard to talk to somebody about heaven and their stomach is growling? It's hard to talk about 12 gates to the city and their bills are overdue. You're talking about some great family reunion up in the clouds to somebody whose family is falling apart. They don't have anybody they can talk to about the stress and challenges of their life. They are concerned about the violence and the crime that's in their community down here. So you're talking about golden streets up there, but they're talking about, look, I've got my eye on these young folk running around my block. Good works has to be bigger than trying to get people in on life insurance. That's what salvation is compared to, is life insurance. Salvation is good when you die. How many of y'all in here saved? Saved. All right. How many of y'all want to go to heaven today? All right. I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to catch the next bus. Y'all go on. Go on. I'm waiting for the next bus. Salvation is marvelous when you die. But most folk ain't ready to die yet. And so good works can't just be heaven stuff. It needs to be heaven stuff and some earth stuff. That's why we give over 2,000 volunteer hours a year to local organizations. That's why we have Avondale offerings and historic black college offerings. That's why we send money to Africa and to Haiti and to India. It is because the Bible says we ought to be good for more than pie in the sky. The Black Baptist Church has a very long and rich history of doing good. These historic black colleges and universities oftentimes have their rootage in the Black Baptist Church. There would be no Shaw Divinity School, Spelman, Fisk, and Clark Atlanta, and many of these schools that we support have their roots in the black church. There's a rich history without the black church. Who knows if there would be an NAACP? The National Action Network is headed by a black preacher. Sharpton is not, Reverend Sharpton, is not just a civil rights leader, he's a preacher. SCLC stood for Southern Christian Leadership Conference. There's a long history of our church being good for more than just a shout on Sunday. And I remind you, this work was not just done by the preacher running around like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to do the work of the congregation. But the work was done by people who felt as if the least I can do is stuff an envelope. The least I can do is pick it. The least I can do is make a phone call. The least I could do is drive somebody to work because we boycotting the buses down here in Montgomery. The church was not synonymous with just the pastor. You can't have an activist pastor and the church take credit for being an activist church. The church got an activist pastor. The vision of Bible is not just activist pastor. The vision of Bible is every believer ought to be ready to do a good work. We spit on that legacy. When we come here for 2 hours of religious escapism, religious entertainment, Reverend, make me feel good. Choir, make me feel good. Here's my $2 or $3. I'll see you next Sunday. If I don't have to get my hair done and my TV show is not on, I'll see you down the road. That embarrasses the legacy of our churches. Thirdly, under living right, it's not just following leadership, not just doing good. Here's the third thing under right living, living right, is getting along with one another. That text goes on to say, not only should they be subject to rulers, not only should they be ready to do whatever is good, but listen to verse 2, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. This is a reminder for saved people to stop slandering one another. This is very important. This sermon is not for folk outside the church. That's not who you're reminding. This sermon is for the people inside the church. Paul tells Titus, tell the people in the church, stop running your mouth on one another. It will make you cry to see how loose lips have caused so much tension and division and hard feelings and grudges and estrangement and distance in this body of Christ. Just malicious gossip. You just running your devilish mouth. And the tragedy is, it's not the young folk. It's not the new folk. is we who claim to have been here down through the years. Well, after all of these years, you should have learned how to close your lips. Getting along with one another. Stop slandering one another. Be considerate of those around you. This world is bigger than you are. Learn to be gentle. Romans 15:1 says, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And if by chance this is your weak area, Jesus says we can ask and receive. Jesus, y'all have heard of him, the one who cursed the figless fig tree, one who talked about his disciples being dull of hearing, he who said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, because you savor those things that are not of God, but those things that are of Satan. This Jesus says that we can ask our Father, and he will supply what we stand in need of. There ought to be a sweet spirit when you come to church. There ought to be a sweet spirit when you come to church. There ought to be more love in church than there is in a basketball stadium. There ought to be more love in church than in a baseball stadium. Yesterday, Sister Baines and I was downtown for this Taste of Cincinnati, and it's amazing how some folk just can't have no fun without four or five beers in them, but that's an altogether different sermon. But yesterday, there was also a Reds game. Cincinnati Reds baseball team game was going on yesterday, and it always baffles me. I find it fascinating. I'm really not a baseball fan. Baseball is a little slow for me. I like basketball, football, boxing, mixed martial arts. I want to see some almost constant movement, and so baseball is a little slow for me. I ain't hating on it. Do what you do. But what catches my attention about the Cincinnati Reds is it's obvious to the most diehard fan would tell you straight up, it's not the best team in the world. It's good, but it's not the best. That's why they're not winning. But what fascinates me is that even when they lose, there is a crew, a sea of people that show up downtown, pay $10, $15, $20 for parking. They wear their red hats. They got their jerseys. What's this boy's name? Vado? That's his name? Yeah. And Griffey. Griffey don't play no more, right? Griffey don't play no more. Yeah, but they still wearing the Griffey jersey. Okay? And they are excited. And if you didn't know no better, you would think all these people know one another. Because when somebody from the Cincinnati Reds hit a home run, they just be high-fiving, everybody around them. Woo, we won! These people don't know one another from Sambo. They just happen to be fans of the same team. LeBron James, Wade, beat up on the Pacers last night. And people who don't even know each other's names knocked over their beer trying to give high fives to one another. When LeBron was dunking on those boys, and what's the bald head man's name shooting those three-pointers? Old boy. Ray Allen shooting them down. People had spent $5 for a beer. They spilled the beer trying to give high five to one another. We done won. Now, when they said we won, you thought they was making some money. They don't have no stock in the team. They don't own the team. Win or lose, they ain't gonna get no money from the team. But they are so engrossed in LeBron James that they act kindly to one another. They're fans of the same team. But then you come to church. You come to church. And you would say, my goodness, if folk can buy a cap and wear a jersey and buy a $5 bag of peanuts and $2 bottle of water and go through all these changes, then my goodness, they must really be a fan for Jesus. Anybody who got a LeBron app on their phone, they surely would be all kinds of energy for Jesus. And yet when we come to the house of the Lord, we don't want to wear his gear. You can't get no high five. You can't get no sanctified dap. Nothing. We act like it's a chore to say amen. And this is a Jesus pep rally. Come on now. And so, we are not doing absolutely terrible in this area. We're not doing absolutely terrible in this area. But how many of y'all know we can do better? I want you to hear what I'm saying. We are not doing absolutely terrible in this area, but we can do better. And when we can do better, but don't do better, that's called sin. It's called being lukewarm. Jesus said, I can't stand this lukewarm stuff. He spits it. He vomits it out of his mouth. And so you all not leave here thinking we are hopelessly unfriendly. Nothing could be further from the truth. What I am telling you is we can do better. And in light of birthdays keep coming, we might want to do better today instead of waiting until tomorrow. How many of y'all know we're running out of time? Whatever we're going to do, we better hurry up and go ahead on and do it. Living right in this text includes following leadership, doing good, getting along with one another. I pivot now to talk about what we are saved from. Verse 3, we are saved from, listen to this, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasure. We lived in malice. We wasn't visiting. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. When we say we are saved from foolishness. How many of y'all know whatever you do outside the will of God is foolishness? I wish I had more young folk to hear me right now. Whatever you do outside the will of God is foolishness. No matter how much money you have, if it's outside the will of God, it's not going to profit you anything at the finishing line. No matter how many friends you think you have, if it's outside the will of God, it's vain, it's foolish, it has no real worth. No matter how strong, no matter how happy you claim to be, if it's outside the will of God, only what you do for Christ will last. Psalms 1 verse 4 says, the ungodly or the wicked I like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Let me just put it right in your lap. Until you get saved, until you accept Christ as your Savior, you are wasting your life. But thank God, those who are saved from foolishness. May not have a great mansion, but how many of y'all know it's better to have a shack that stands the test of time than to have a great big mansion that blows over in stormy weather? Saved from foolishness. My life counts because my life is in Christ. And then saved from negativity. All of this envy, all of this malice, all of this hatred. I'm saved from that. Listen real good now. The more negativity that we have towards others, the further we are from God. You need to hear this. The more negativity that you and I have in our hearts for people, the further we are from God. You may have a great church wardrobe. You may have an impressive record of being in the worship experience. You may even give good money to church and can quote scripture after scripture. If you can't love people, you got a problem. And so you won't dismiss it so easily. Let me read this to you from the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. 1 John is in the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. The context here suggests the light is to live in Jesus, to live in his word, to live in the presence of God. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. That's good. Verse 11 says, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Get it good now. You can't be a strong Christian and a hater at the same time. That just don't go together. The greatest measure of our Christian maturity is that we love the brethren and the sisters. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Thank God when you get saved, not just join church. When you get saved from having to hate on everybody. Saved from negativity. As I make ready to close now, let me tell you this. The enrollment period is still open. Isn't that good news? That if you're sitting here today, saying, Reverend, you're right, but I'm just not there yet. I know that I ought to have a better spirit about people. I know I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting my energy on a bunch of foolish stuff. I know that I need to be involved in something good and need to learn how to follow leadership, but I'm just not there yet. The good news is the enrollment period is still open. No matter how jacked up you think your life may be, God specializes in healing those who are sick. God specializes in fixing those things that are broke. God specializes in raising the dead back to life. Hear me real good now. No matter how much sin you see in your life, the only thing that keeps you from getting right with God is your refusal to say, yes, Lord. He can look past all of your sins, all of your transgressions, all of your shortcomings, whatever you've messed up in your life. God still loves you and has a marvelous plan for your life. And the reason I know is because he saved me. And I just want to spend these last few minutes of your attention telling you that if you are saved, you and I have so much to praise God for. When you and I read this text and look back over our own lives, you and I ought to have our own praise service. For the text says, we too used to be foolish. Can anybody be honest enough here today to look back over your life and see all of the foolish things that you've said, that you've done? You wasted your time, you wasted your money, you wasted your energy on. The Bible says we were foolish. We were disobedient, and we were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. I know we are in church, and it's hard to be honest in church, but just wink if you can remember. Time, money, and energy that's been wasted trying to find pleasure. Yeah, I know it's hard to tell the truth in church, but I want you to think about how much money you wasted on weed, how much money you wasted on Jack Daniels, how much money you wasted trying to get high, how much money you wasted on hotel rooms, how much time you wasted for hotel activity, and how much money you wasted trying to impress people that you don't even like. But by the grace of the Lord, we're still standing. Isn't that good news? And what I love about my God is he saved me. I did not save my own self. That's not how it happened. Let me paint it like this. I was sinking deep in a pit of sin. And I don't want you to think that one day I woke up and start climbing my way up out of that pit. That's not what happened at all. I was sinking to rise no more. And one Thursday evening, I called on the Lord. Lord, please have mercy on me. And look what happened, family. He came down in the pit. Oh, yes, he did. And he picked me up. Oh, yes, he did. He pulled me up. He cleaned me off. He placed my feet on a higher ground. I have nothing to brag about on my own. All that I have and all that I am, it's all because of the favor of God. It's all because the Lord looked past my sinful heart and my sinful ways and decided to pour out his grace, his mercy, his long suffering. That's why I got to praise him. Did you hear me? When I think about how good the Lord has been to me, I can't wait on congregational cue to praise him. I've got to praise him if I gotta do it all by myself. I gotta come in now, family. I gotta tie a knot right here. But please, in your studies this week. Read Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I gotta stop right now, but there's so much more to talk about on next week. Please, please forgive me, but I got to quit now. But I'm glad that no matter how hard it becomes to live for Jesus, I'm glad I got some help. Did you hear me? Yes! It gets hard sometimes. I don't always want to live right. But when it seems I can go another step further, I got some help. And I want to spend the last 2 minutes of your attention span talking about my help. My help came down through 40 and two generations. My help was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. My help made the blind to see, the lame to walk. My help, they killed my help one Friday, but thank God, 3 days later, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days later, my help rose with all power in his hand. My help sits on the right side of the Father. And one of these days, my help is coming back again. Please, let me call his name. I want to call his name. I think you know him, but I want to call his name. Think I ought to warn you. Think I ought to warn you. There's power in his name, but I want to call him. Can I call him? Can I call his name? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I dare you get in trouble and call his name. I dare you to be, have your back up against the wall and call his name. I must admit, sometimes I feel a little low, but when I call the name of Jesus, the more I call him, the better I feel. The more I praise him, the better I feel. The more I praise him, the brighter the sun shines in my life. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I'm so thankful that I know the Lord. I don't just preach sermons about him. I know the Lord. He will look past all of that dirt and filth in your life. And the reason I know is not because of what I learned at school, but from what I've experienced, him looking past all of the dirt and filth in my own life. And whatever he's done for others, he's able to do the same for you. Your problem with God is not the sins of the past. Your problem with God is you won't say yes today. He loves you. He has superintended the affairs of your life so that you can be here today. He's not going to force himself into your life. But if you would just hear his voice, open the door, he'll come in and he'll sup with you and allow you to sup with him. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, you ought to come today. No matter how jacked up you think you are, God.